Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. All right, we got another great episode coming up for you. Obviously, we're going to get in on the blowout victory over the Charlotte Hornets coming on a back-to-back. We saw some things that we asked for from the last game, like a sense of urgency right out of the gate. And before we do that, though, we got to update you on James Harden and his hamstring injury. Think there's going to be less concern there. That's good. Kevin Durant possibly returning. The timeline seems to be inching closer. And then, of course, LaMarcus Aldridge debuts in a starting 30-minute performance for the Brooklyn Nets. It's a nice stat line. It's a good sample size. And we're going to dive in on how his presence now on this roster, combined with Blake Griffin, Jeff Green, Claxton, DeAndre Jordan, where do all the minutes shake out? What do the rotations look like? And how do we start to construct this deep playoff run roster that we're all itching to get in on? But before we do, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. Also broadcasting in locker room for this episode, so pretty excited about that. I am Doug Norrie, owner, operator, DFSR.com. Come on over there, hang out, talking a little DFS action every night. NBA, MLB kicking off today with open. You don't kick things off in NBA or MLB. You throw the first pitch. First pitch over there in MLB, all covered over there on DFSR.com. So go check that out with me. And that is Adam Armbrecht. You know him, voice of the Brooklyn Nets on Sportscaster. He's also the host of the One Giant podcast, where he's crushing Giants football. Basically just the one-stop shop for everything you need to know about New York sports. Buddy, how we doing?
Give me the tallest glass you can find, because I'm ready to drink some LaMarcus Aldridge Kool-Aid.
Oh, baby, it's gonna take a certain amount of restraint to not make this an all Aldridge podcast for sure. Like I said before, we're broadcasting in locker room for this episode. So you're gonna hear this if you're listening on a feed later. You're gonna hear it obviously in the way that you usually listen. But just as a reminder, each week we are at least once a week going up here over on locker room, doing the podcast over here at the end, bringing folks up to talk Nets basketball with us. It's a really, really great time. So go check out Locker Room app and make sure you're with us next week. Because if you're listening to this on the feed, then you missed out. It's too late. The room is closed by now, by the time you've listened to it on wherever you listen to podcasts. So Nets with a big win, with a win that they should have had, and they pulled and they did it. So it's an expected win here over the Hornets, 111-89. Game never in doubt. Hornets put up a lowly 11 points there in the first quarter. I'm laughing because just sometimes I think it only takes things for us to speak things into existence. Because do you want to just recap? We're gonna go through some injury stuff here. I want to do an injury recap, and then we're gonna get to the game. But real quick, remind everyone what the general complaint yesterday was about the game with the Nets in terms of like when they're playing these lesser teams.
Right, blow them out early. Don't make it this thing where you got to battle. You got to come from behind. You got to earn some type of victory that should have been penned in as a W on paper. And as you say, speak it into existence, because tonight was never in doubt from the very first tip that the Nets were going to knock Charlotte right off the court.
Yeah, it's just so great. It's just like it's whenever we say something, it's just the exact opposite happens. It's really almost every time. It's really becoming pretty uncanny at this point. We say something's going to happen in a game, it goes the other way. Look, I try to prognosticate a decent amount in my other life. It seems like with the Nets, when it comes to this stuff, either we need to complain about it and it goes the opposite way, or we just have to say, oh, it's becoming a trend, and then the trend stops. So the pretty easy victory, all things considered. A lot to talk about here. Obviously, we're going to get into LaMarcus Aldridge. Believe me, I know the prince that was promised in terms of what Nets fans think about in terms of big men. people just salivating over the LaMarcus Aldridge thing. But first, we got to talk about real quick some injury news wrap up, because when we finished yesterday's podcast, the concern was around James Harden leaving the game early on Wednesday with the hamstring issue. We kind of speculated that it wasn't too bad. It wasn't being helped to the locker room situation. He wasn't limping off the court. It was kind of like looked a little gimpy on the court in in a couple of different possessions, went to the bench, was kind of like clearly bothered by something, and then just didn't return. So that's usually a sign that we're not on death's doorstep when it comes to injury. And that was basically confirmed today through Nets PR, where they did an MRI on Harden on the hamstring, came back totally clean, and he just listed as day-to-day at this point. So nothing to really worry about there. I mean, does that alleviate when you saw that news, but did that alleviate your concerns? For me, it was like a sigh of relief, and I kind of expected it, but I was still a little bit bated breath.
Yeah, no, like you said, we talked about it yesterday, the way that the Nets approached discussing injuries and just all those kind of things. But the way in which Harden left the court in the previous game made you feel at least comfortable that it wasn't going to be too severe. And yet, I also wanted to hear today that it wasn't. And they're just being, as they say, cautious with the injury. So he should be all right and back in a few games.
The other one is that Kevin Durant, this one's not really as solid, but Shams Charania from The Athletic, so one of the, you know, the third rail when it comes to him and Woj, are basically like the, you know, they're like an organization all amongst themselves, just these two guys basically. But he reports that Kevin Durant, that hamstring, is now closing in on a return to action. That's the actual quote. But then there's really still no timeline because they don't think he's going to start preparing for game action for another week. So the timeline is encouraging in the sense that it's going to happen at some point. Well, sometimes when you see a report, you think you're going to get that definitive like game thing. The Nets have always been not wanting to do that for reasons that we've kind of outlined in the past. But did that feel make you feel more encouraged on that front? Like, I'm shooting for the all encouragement podcast here, but like the KD, the KD like news, not news, was that. Was that anything new for you? Because like when I saw Kevin Durant and Shams and like gearing up, I was like, oh, nice. But then I actually read the report and I was thinking, oh, this isn't like too different than what we already knew, which was to say he's going to come back and we still just kind of don't know when.
Yeah, in some ways, I think it's almost no news is good news. So these aren't real updates. And in that sense, I'm happy that they're not updates because I feel like the only thing that you could update us with that was actually going to change our perspective or opinion about when we're going to see Durant back would be if they said he had a setback. Right. And now could be longer. Instead, you saw him during this game on the sidelines with Harden. They were having the time of their lives. People were dancing all over the place. You know, it was a great atmosphere. It seems like it's just a matter of when, not if he's going to return, as we highlighted that verbiage yesterday from the coach. But yeah, so, you know, I liked that there was an update. I wish that it was saying, hey, this game is when he's going to come back. But as we said, you can't really expect that from the Nets organization at this point. As long as we get him back within a reasonable timeline that he's able to ramp back up and we feel like he's 100% for the playoffs, that's all that I'm waiting for. And it does still leave you holding a little half breath until it officially happens.
And what you have when you have three superstars on your team is that even when two of them are out, you still have one remaining. That's just how the simple math in that situation works. And you just still have Kyrie Irving who, you know, even when you are down two of the, you know, five, when they're healthy, five best players in the NBA and Harden and Durant, I don't know how far you're willing to go out there, seven. It doesn't matter at that point. You're splitting superstar hairs at that point. But then you still have Kyrie sitting there who can then definitely take over the team. For a whole season, you wouldn't want Kyrie to be the best player in your team. I don't think you're probably not a championship level team by there when he's your third best player and he can take some of the off nights for when guys are injured. You get a performance like he got tonight, which was like his best sort of James Harden impersonation, where he goes 15 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists in 34 minutes. And was just had a little piece of everything, was facilitating everything. Clearly they wanted him to get on the boards because when you have rebounding guards, you can just start transition earlier. That's why you see so many guards these days like work actively on rebounding, because that just it just sets up transition so much better than if a big man is doing it, if you can just off-ball rebound. But right, are we just spoiled at this point? Because it's like, oh yeah, Kevin Durant, eh, we'll see. James Harden, okay, a couple days. Kyrie Irving, you just go up out there and be the best player, and we'll just win the game easily, right? Like this is the situation where the Nets have gotten into at this point.
Yeah, there's a couple of nice things about it. We said about going back to the last game, and I said this since Irving's come back after that few game absence, he's really looked like he's had a different mentality. It looks like he's starting to get into that late season playoff type of demeanor. He was the one that was pushing. He's the one that's fist pumping in the background when the big plays are happening in the last game. And then he took charge here. And I do wonder a little bit if it seems like it'd be impossible for it not to have happened that Harden's style of play since joining Brooklyn, and Irving's always been capable of any of this, but I wouldn't have been shocked if last year Irving came out and tried to be ball dominant if he was the only star and really tried to do everything, right, and fire up 25 to 30 shots. Instead, he really plays within his game. He leans on the supporting cast, who does a great job in this one, and then you get that really balanced line. And I just wonder if he and Harden playing together and practicing together, that they're rubbing off on one another and creating more balanced versions of their game, which is only to the betterment of the team overall.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it wasn't a hero ball. This easily could have been a Kyrie Irving hero ball game, and it just wasn't, right? Like, yeah. It was just one of these situations where, because we've seen him go hero ball at times, especially when he's really in feeling it, where he'll just start kind of throwing basically anything up there and just kind of see what goes down. We didn't have that situation happen tonight, and I kind of thought we would get it, but we just didn't. And I think that's really encouraging, just to speak to kind of what you were talking about there. All right, I want to talk more about this game. Obviously, we got to get into LaMarcus Aldridge, because people are just dying to talk about him as well. First, got to talk to you about Sport Trade. I don't know if you guys have heard about Sport Trade. It's just an awesome service. It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. It's where you can take fantasy to the next level. It's like Robin Hood, but for fantasy sports. And their platform allows you to buy and sell shares of your favorite players just like real stocks. Finally, it's a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. Making money with Sport Trade is simple. You just go in there, get in player values, and you can basically do it in a couple of different ways. If the values rise or fall, you can buy them and sell them just like stocks. So you'll know ahead of time. You can know ahead of time of how a player is going to perform, because you kind of have a general sense of that as a sports fan. You can use that knowledge to succeed over on Sports Trade. It's just all about supply and demand, and they have you covered there. When you're ready to buy shares, you pick up a rookie, maybe with some huge upside, you buy it like a penny stock, or you can just do that for the superstar players as well. Right now, you sign up today at sporttrade.com. Discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new way of sports trading. It's truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sporttrade.com. And you also know that buying auto parts these days can be something of a total and complete hassle, especially if you're going into that local place. You don't know what kind of pricing you're going to get. I talk often about how those guys just disappear into the cavern in the back after you give them the part that you need. You don't know what they're coming back with. Is it the right part? What's the price going to be? It's a nondescript box. You don't know what's going on there at these local places. You got to use rockauto.com. Family owned and operated for 20 years. Rock Auto is the absolute easiest way to buy auto parts. You type in the make and model of your car, give you a drop down menu, it lets you search really easily the exact parts you need. You can see the prices up front, and you're going to know that they're 30 to 50% better than any of the prices you're going to get at some of those local places. Go to rockauto.com right now, and when they give you the option of where did you hear about us, just type in Locked On, just like the podcast network that we are on. Let them know we sent you. Rockauto.com, best place to buy auto parts. Rockauto.com.
And of course, you can get all the sports news that you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you with the latest news in every major sport with help of all of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast needs fulfilled. Now to the debut. There's a couple of things here. It's LaMarcus Aldridge, obviously. He's the buyout guy that we added in. We're really excited to have him. Not dissimilar to when they added Blake Griffin. I think, you know, older, veteran. Let's not set the bar too high for this guy. But what I will say, he didn't play Aldridge since early March with the Spurs. He comes in, gets on the court pretty quickly for Brooklyn here, only a couple of games after he was added. He looks healthy. He looks fresh. And in my mind, I don't know if this is probably not right to think of it this way, but I pictured Dirk Nowitzki in my mind in the last season of his career, where it looked like he was laboring to get up and down the court. It looked like everything was a process for his body. LaMarcus Aldridge, for whatever he's going to be for the Nets, and maybe the Hornets was the right matchup to have him debut against, he doesn't look 35. Yeah, I mean, he is fluid. He's never been a guy that's going to give you, you know, certain things on the defensive end at this stage of his career, etc. But I was impressed. I was impressed by the initial sample size that we got from him. Were you more or less encouraged, without, you know, holding your feet to the fire on it, but were you more encouraged by what you saw in his debut than maybe you expected coming in?
Okay, so just to rewind about expectations, right? And I'll give it to you from what I do in my other walk of life, which is try to prognosticate around minutes a player is going to play when they come in, right? And sometimes, because like for DFS and betting and stuff, that's not the entire key, but that's a big part of the pie of what makes up a good projection on a player. And when I saw LaMarcus was starting, I was a little bit surprised. So my first thought was, okay, well, that's the end of DeAndre Jordan, right? Because if DeAndre's not going to start, then there's just really kind of no place for him on the team, especially in certain matchups. I'm going to get to why this was in short. We will get to why shortly why this was one of those matchups that you did not need to start him. But the when I saw that he wasn't going to start, I thought, okay, well, that's the end of DeAndre. But now what are the minutes going to be? You know, maybe a reasonable comp would have been what Blake did when he first came and played with him, which was 15 minutes, although that was off the bench, and bench minutes can get a little weird at times. So it was hard to know. I kind of pegged him for like 22 minutes or something like that, just because, like you said, it had been so long since he had played. It really, for him, wasn't as much injury stuff as it was for Blake. Blake was injured for a decent part of the season, and then they just started to kind of sit him out. Aldridge's was in and out of injury issues, but mostly just, hey, you're really not part of our future, and let's just not play you that much because we have young guys that we need to develop. That being said, it had been so long since NBA game action for him. For him to have come out and played 30 minutes, I was floored. It's really encouraging, actually, the fact that he played 30 minutes. And you mentioned that he looked spry. I thought the athleticism was fine. He's not really ever been an athletic guy. It's mostly just he's pretty big, he's pretty smart, he can range out, he's not going to kill you defensively. He can switch more than DeAndre can, although, again, he's not a dynamic switcher like Claxton or anything like that. But I just thought it was going to be, like a ramp-up period for him. But now, 30 minutes into the first game, he's just the Nets starting center now, right? Like, can we just agree
on that? Well, and that was the other takeaway, too.
Go ahead. Yeah.
No, that was the other takeaway, too, was the fact that in his first game that he comes in, he starts. And you can say, I mean, I just... You mentioned DeAndre Jordan, right? That's it. He's not going to start anymore, probably. And I just would have thought that DeAndre still would have started this game, and then you would have maybe brought him in. Remember, go back to the game prior where we were talking about Nicholas Claxton and the hierarchy of players coming in. It was this DeAndre, then Blake, then Claxton. Blake doesn't even play in this one. He's in street clothes, just the night off for him. But, you know, I wasn't sure how they were going to roll it out. And to your point, the fact that they just leaned in immediately to him starting has to be a massive indicator to how the team looks at him and the role that he's going to have. And I don't want to get ahead of it. So, I'll throw it back to you before we dive into a little bit of his game and what I saw from it. But there's very specific reasons why him immediately being plugged in as a starter makes all the sense in the world for what his skill set is. And then even in connection with what Blake's skill set is, what Claxton's skill set is, and even what Jeff Green's skill set is, if we lump them together as being, you know, the quote unquote bigs for the Nets.
Okay, so here's the other thing, too. So when it was first reported that he was being bought out by the Spurs, the immediate news from Shams. So it wasn't just one of these like rogue accounts. It was a Shams report that said the Miami Heat are the front runners to sign LaMarcus Aldridge in the buyout market. And that seemed, and those things, it's like when the FBI knocks on your door with a warrant. When those things get reported, it's because they didn't make a mistake. It was because it's like they got you, all right? Like, it's just, this isn't the local cops kind of on the beat and they just kind of come to your house and try to find something. When the feds are up into you, you're guilty, probably, or at least in their eyes.
I still
eyes.
Maintain Ray Liotta was innocent in that particular instance. I don't think the storyline seemed off. Anyway.
So when that gets reported, like, he is going to the Heat. That seems like the pretty clear destination for him. So I think what probably happened, and it's signaled by what happened here, is the Nets came in, and I think that the Nets were able to get him because they said, you're going to start. Right. I think that was probably what swayed him, because, again, when it gets reported that he's going to the Heat, it's because there's very firm evidence, probably at that point, from high level sources that are saying this is where it's going to go. And I think the only way you get that, because remember, it was a little bit of a surprise that he ended up signing with the Nets, right?
Yeah.
It was the Nets fans wanted him, but I think everyone thought it was a foregone conclusion that he was going to Miami. When he doesn't do that, I think the Nets probably got in the room and at that point said, if you come to us, you're going to start. And I think that's probably what swayed him. And I'm using the evidence of him starting as being what I think happened. Because, again, this isn't what happened with Blake. We have a proxy for this exact situation from just a couple weeks ago. They brought in another high-level, big-name guy to come in the buyout market. And that guy was said, you are going to be coming off the bench, friend, right? For LaMarcus to come in day one, supplant DeAndre, who was not hurt. He was not on the injury report. He came in, started at center, played 30 minutes right out of the gate after not playing for the month. The clear sign to me was, you are going to be the starting center, and that's just what he. And that's why I'm saying he is the starting center. I don't even think it mattered what he did tonight. Probably whether or not, like, I don't think he needed to prove himself. Like Blake, maybe he needed to. I think the indication here is that he knew from the jump that he was going to be the Nets starting center from probably here through the rest of the regular season, at least, unless something major happened.
And do you think, just to touch on it quickly before we get into the game for Aldridge and then also some of the impact for those rotations of the bigs here, do you think that we mentioned this last episode around, again, stemming the tide of the absence of Kevin Durant? Because I know we can get into kind of these roles as well, but you don't think that these are disassociated. Essentially, we went out and got Kyrie Irving, you know, prior to the last season. That brought in Kevin Durant. They wanted DeAndre Jordan to be there. The Nets did the good faith thing by signing DeAndre Jordan to a substantial contract for where he was in his career. And now we've reached the point of saying, if we want to win a championship, he's not going to be the guy that needs to be playing at the five for us. And everyone understands that.
Yeah, and I think maybe it was something like along the lines of, hey, if it's LaMarcus Aldridge coming in, we can make the case for him to start. Maybe it's not a Nick Claxton thing where it's the young guy, right? If you're just trying to manage egos and whatever, there's maybe a difference that they see in. And maybe LaMarcus's game is more offensive geared, and that's going to be okay for them. Maybe there's going to be situations where you see the minute disparity range a little bit differently. But I think from a DeAndre Jordan standpoint, maybe it's a little easier pill to swallow for it to be the Aldridge. Now, I do think from this game, this was a good starting place for him to start, because offensively, the Hornets have two centers that you don't nearly need to guard at all. And so there's nothing that those centers can really do to you to hurt you in terms of Bismack Biyombo and Cody Zeller. They're not offensive first. I mean, Bismack is the opposite of offensive. He's got no offensive game. He's a defense first center completely through and through. Zeller has a little bit of pick and roll in him and can range a little bit. They really don't want him to. Again, it's not two guys you need to worry about. So from a defensive standpoint and overall switching standpoint, this is a nice way to kind of be brought on board for the team, because this isn't a team that's really going to hunt you down if you are a steady weakness, which I don't think Aldridge is going to be. In some matchups he will be, and like we said before, in a really wing heavy team, it's going to be he's going to be a problem, I think, a little bit on defense. But this was really the perfect matchup to bring him in on, because he's not going to be asked to do much in the block against those two guys. He's going to be able to probably take advantage of them a little bit on the offensive end more than some other players that are, you know, teams that maybe range a little smaller. So I think from that standpoint, we probably got, I mean, kind of a perfect matchup for him to start on both ends of the court, because he wasn't going to be exposed early, and he's going to be able to stretch them out a little bit in terms of the perimeter, because those guys are sort of planted in the lane. So I think all the stars kind of align for this being a really good starting place for him. It'll be interesting to see going forward, but I mean, you can't argue with the results at all. He played really well.
No, 100%. And just a quick shout out here, as we're going to get into the game run. Anybody that's over there with us live on Locker Room, like Bones and like Hassan, we're going to round out the last segment here and then bring you guys up for the conversation. So stick around, because I'm seeing all the chatter. You guys are getting into the message board there, and we want to get your take on it.
All right, first off, we got to talk to you about Bet Online. Very best place to get in bets on all of your sports action. Adam and I are over on Bet Online every single night taking a look at lines. I was there all day with MLB today, just watching the lines update, getting some bets in as well. Bet Online is the very best place to get all the action in for sports, MLB, NBA every single night, obviously, NHL flying all over the ice. Bet Online has you covered across the board. Sports, reality TV shows, award stuff as well. It's not just sports betting these days, folks. You can bet on just about everything, and Bet Online has you covered there. All the lines and prop bets you could ever imagine, news and scores as well. So it's basically a one-stop shop. Right now, go to betonline.com. You can sign up for a free account, but if you make a deposit, BetOnline will give you a first deposit bonus of up to 50%, but you have to use the promo code LOCKEDON, just like our podcast network, LOCKEDON, over at BetOnline, the very best place to put in bets. BetOnline.ag. Go sign up right now. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. And also, before we get to this last piece about the game, and then we'll do some lock it up as well, got to talk to you about our friends over at Built Bar. Right now, Built Bar, doing Built Bar Madness, and it's what happens when you have a product, in this case, Built Bar with the protein bar, that has so many amazing flavors that they were willing to stack them all up tournament style, just like March Madness, and just see who's going to be crowned the very best tasting Built Bar. They've been running this for weeks now. It's been awesome, kind of just going back and forth with the flavors. The Locked On NBA channel every single day is arguing about what the best flavors are. Again, they're not paid to do stuff like that. People just want to argue Built Bar flavors because there's just so many good ones out there. The very, very best protein bar out there. Adam, do we have a matchup for today?
Well, this is going on right now. It's the final countdown, the official bracket, where it is chunk on chunk, as we thought it would be. Coconut brownie and cookie dough, both in the chunk category. Which way would you possibly lean, Doug?
I got to go cookie dough. That's time honored. But again, not talking ice cream flavors here, talking healthy protein bars, 100% covered in chocolate, but all the protein you could ever need. Go to builtbar.com or Twitter at built_bar. And when you go on builtbar.com and make an order, make sure you use LOCKED15. That's going to give you 15% off your first purchase. LOCKED15 for 15% over a Built Bar. And check back tomorrow to see who won Built Bar Madness.
And of course, you can get more of the analysis on the top prospects that are going to be available in this year's NBA draft with the Locked On NBA Draft podcast. Scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness that's coming to a conclusion 4 days a week from all those credentialed draft experts. Follow the Locked On NBA Draft podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast needs fulfilled. So now, as you said, and we can actually officially say, this will be a part of Lock It Up. The fan favorite segment, as I keep affectionately referring to it as, we're going to bounce around a little bit. I think the segment will be looser than we normally construct it because LaMarcus Aldridge starts. And I mentioned it in the last segment. The reason why I think it makes sense that he gets plugged in immediately and why he should be replacing DeAndre Jordan and why it fits into this mold. DeAndre Jordan is the outlier here in the group of, and we'll leave Jeff Green out of it, Claxton, DeAndre Jordan, now LaMarcus Aldridge, and even if you want to include Green and you want to include Blake Griffin, all of these players to different extents can have an impact on both ends of the floor. The biggest detriment to DeAndre Jordan is that defensively, he can't extend out to the perimeter. He can't switch on to different matchups. He can barely match up with the fives on the other team. Offensively, he can't shoot from the elbow. He can't shoot from anywhere except for on lobs at the rim. Now, we've seen sample sizes over the course of this season that he's looked pretty good, and he still has all the athleticism, still has the ups, obviously. But when you talk about having consistency from your starting unit and then into the bench players, I just look at, especially when KD comes back, you can run small and have KD at the four with Claxton at the five for stretches if you want. Now Aldridge can be in there at the five. You can run even super small and switch it down and get Jeff Green out there alongside of Kevin Durant. And all of these things, when we talked about who were the Nets going to add into, and defense didn't seem to be a big priority as a lot of fans wanted, right? Bring in, try to get Drummond. We want a defensive rim protector. It looks like the Nets are saying, guess what we are? A really high-powered offense that most teams are never going to be able to chase us down if we're firing on all cylinders. And these moves just kind of lean further into that. And DeAndre Jordan is the outlier. And because he's not a high-level defensive presence, his value is incredibly diminished on this championship-caliber team.
I don't think it's the end of him. I think there's still a place for him. A couple things on that. I'm still stand by my, I think we're going to see Aldridge as basically the starting center going forward here. So I don't think that doesn't change. My mind's not going to be changed about that until he doesn't start. And I'll feel free to have my mind changed about that. I got a nice little thing blasted in my ear here. Second thing is DeAndre, again, this matchup for him, I thought this was a good place to onboard Aldridge for the reasons I mentioned before. I think also DeAndre is much more valuable when James Harden plays. So I think that his game is more suited to pair with the with Harden than it is Kyrie. Yeah. And if Kyrie is the sole ball handler, then because Kyrie's mid-range game and his ability to just kind of pull up off the dribble means that DeAndre doesn't need to be around the lane clogging it as much. Like you don't need to have as much rim running when you have Kyrie doing that. So having I think we're going to see DeAndre play more with James Harden around because I think his game is more suited to play with him. So I think that actually probably contributed some to it as well, the fact that he didn't play tonight, because, again, his game is just, like, stylistically,
Harden makes those guys really, really good for the things, for the reasons we've seen time and time again with DeAndre just kind of being able to just flash to the rim, rise up, and just grab these lobs, even in the limited sample size. That at least even though the run's been diminished, it's still happening with him when he plays with Harden. So I think there was sort of a confluence of factors that kept him off the court tonight. But in general, I do think he is the odd man out, save for probably an Embiid matchup, something like that. Maybe like the Miles, Mason Plumlee's of the world, where they are going to try to hurt you in the block a little bit, right? I think we could still see him in and around those matchups. But in general, yeah, I mean, you have to think that the minutes are almost nearly off the table. I don't know if there was a lock it up that I was supposed to say in there, but
no, I wouldn't. Yeah. Let's put it that way. Over 10 minutes per game average for DeAndre Jordan the remainder of the season. Do you lock it up?
No, got to go under. On the average games where he's just considered healthy and not out, and the total average, yep. I'll say under. I think you're going to see the 20-minute game here and there, and you're going to see a lot of DMP CDs from here on out. I think that they just have too many cooks in the kitchen when it comes to big men now. There's too many reasons not to play him with what the other guys have shown so far. The defense for this team matters just a little bit less because the offense is so good. And if the offense can stay high-powered, depending on who they rotate in here, then I think, yeah, on average, I think it's way less. I think it's probably... 8 minutes a game less. I don't know. This is not hyperbole. I think we've really kind of seen the end of him here. I think that the Aldridge thing has forced their hand, because now Aldridge came in, started, and played well. This is exactly why I didn't want Blake to start before, right? The exact reason I didn't want him to start before was because I thought if he started, it was going to be harder to get him out of the lineup. I kind of hold the same idea for Aldridge, except that Aldridge is just better, so it's not as a debilitating move if it doesn't work out, right? But in general, I think that, again, he just doesn't come here and play unless they tell him he's a starter. I'm convinced of that. I have no sources on that, but I'm totally, you could not convince me otherwise that didn't happen.
And yeah, and there's a couple other pieces to it, and we're as we get out of here and into our locker room, the idea of, remember, one thing DeAndre Jordan is, he seems like a great team guy, seems like a great locker room guy. So I think, and I've always been, and across any sport, I do think that those players are important to the chemistry and the cohesion of a team. So I do think he's going to have a role of some kind. Let's just go ahead and double down.
You'd be some kind of insane if you saw that the team was on a championship run and that everything has been kind of working no matter what moves they've been making this year, and the team said, this is how we think we can win a championship, and you were the guy that went against it, right? This isn't last year where it was his first year and they clearly weren't going to do that, and he wasn't going to sit on the bench behind Jared Allen for a team that went 42-40, right? That was what was sort of happening last year. This is a totally different thing where people have changed roles. They brought in new players. Like, you know, Kyrie Irving embraced a sort of off, it's not really, but I mean, he came out and said it. He embraced an off-ball role with James Harden. If you have these guys deferring to each other for the things that are going to make the team win, then you'd be nuts if you were the person that said, no, I should still be starting when everyone else said you shouldn't be, right? And it wouldn't follow any of the theme of what's happened this year, which is, hey, everyone just kind of get in your lane and let's do what it takes to win, and we can just set our egos aside, because that has been the theme of the Nets season so far, let's all check our egos at the door. There's a hierarchy now, and the second Kyrie brought into that hierarchy, everyone else just basically by proxy had to fall into the same hierarchy, right? Or had to be bought in also, because once your third best player, who probably went into the season thinking he was going to be the second best player or maybe the best, because that's how Kyrie thinks, the second he's able to say, hey, I'm the third best player, I'll play off ball, you do what you're going to do, you can't be the guy afterwards that says, hey, I should still be starting, even if you think it.
Yeah, no, 100%. And Kyrie, for his personality, not a knock, he's the guy that kind of sets that tone, I think, as far as expectations for everybody else on this roster, including, obviously, someone like DeAndre Jordan. Real quick, out the door, lock it up between now and April 18th. That gives you about a 7 or 8 game sample size. Over 2 games for Kevin Durant.
I can't lock that up. I don't think so. I'm too jaded on not knowing when he's going to come back. I can't say any number that's going to make me disappointed if I'm wrong with Harden. So I'll say I'm not going to lock that up.
All right, let's wrap this one up and get into the locker room with the fans.
All right, that ends the podcast portion of the locker room. We're going to jump in and take locker room questions for all you that are just on the podcast. Make sure you rate and review wherever you listen. Give us a top follow on Twitter, Locked On Nets as well. Getting close to 1,000 Twitter followers. I think we're like 990 right now. I'd love to get over that by the weekend. Make that a weekend turn out good. So give us a review wherever you listen. Follow on Twitter. And next time we're in locker room, jump over there. Great time answering questions and talking Nets basketball. We'll be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.